We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time: baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in baseball isn't boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. You'll be glad you did.
Anyway, thank you both. Have a good day. It's 9:12. We're talking to Representative Joe Marino now, Louisiana State Representative. Yeah, I just told you that. About the, he's the chair of the Medical Marijuana Commission, about bureaucratic problems and red tape that could be keeping medical marijuana from helping more people. How you doing, Representative?
I'm doing well. Good morning.
You're from the West Bank, are you? From Gretna?
Gretna. Born and raised? Born and raised.
Where'd you go to high school?
Holy Cross in the Ninth Ward.
Yeah,
back when it was by the river.
Yeah, we got a problem. Anyway, tell me about what's going on with people that are trying to obtain medical marijuana. Where is the delay? Where's the bureaucracy? Where's the tie up?
Well, lots of bureaucracy. We as far as access, we passed the bill that came out of Act 491 adds a directs the Board of Pharmacy to award the 10th license that has never been awarded, the 10th license, and it's going to be in Region 1, which is New Orleans, Jefferson, Orleans region. But that hasn't happened yet. And then the other thing is they have that process is ongoing, but it's also further complicated by the licensee that has the license right now that wants to put a satellite location in a position which would block out anyone else from having a competing pharmacy here anywhere close to it, a 5-mile circle on each side. But what we did in our last meeting we had the Board of Medical Examiners come in, and there was some confusion, I believe, on their part as to whether or not telemedicine is fully allowed. Doctors to recommend medical cannabis via telemedicine. And Dr. Collado was telling me that it was a schedule, that we changed marijuana to a Schedule II drug, and that these are the rules for telemedicine for Schedule II. But it's not a Schedule II drug. It's a Schedule I, which I know because I'm a practicing criminal defense attorney.
And that's the federal classification, right? Schedule I?
Right. Well, marijuana has wrongfully been classified in Schedule I with heroin,
right,
okay, and other drugs and Schedule I, for people that don't know what schedules mean, Schedule I means it has no medicinal purpose whatsoever. It cannot be prescribed. It's illegal to prescribe it, which is why our medical marijuana dispensaries are standalone. It's not inside of a normal pharmacy because it's still a Schedule I drug. And, until the federal government moves it out of Schedule I, we've got to go through all these, gymnastics to get medicine to people.
But let me jump in.
Yeah, go ahead.
Counselor, let me jump in because I got a lot of questions here, and you can help sort them out maybe. But oxycodone is a Schedule I drug as well, right? And you get that at CVS or wherever, or don't you?
No, I don't believe it's a Schedule I drug. I'm not.
Oh, sure. It's not. What about Vicodin or any of these things? No.
No. All those are different. They're two down from two. I mean, two,
oh,
three,
okay.
Four, five. Yeah. No.
I didn't know that.
The Schedule I drugs are not prescribable at all. LSD is a Schedule I drug. You cannot have a prescription for LSD. But if the federal government were to change the classification of marijuana from Schedule I, where it doesn't belong, to even a 2, which is like the most regulated, but it's prescribable. This product could be sold at Walgreens once that happens. You don't have to have a build a standalone building to separate it. You don't have to have doctors worried about losing their license because they're trying to recommend something to a cancer patient. You know, so.
So is this more about, is it about an anti-marijuana agenda, or is it about fear of losing their license? And some doctors I know, when it comes to opioids, and I can't believe I didn't realize that, but you're right about the Schedule II, Schedule III, et cetera, are so afraid to prescribe them now. I know one of the concerns expressed about the marijuana was that they didn't want telemedicine to lead to pill mills, but there's so much regulation now. Can that really happen?
You know, they keep a registry of every single prescription. And I say prescription because it's a, you know, it's not technically a real prescription, but we keep exact records on who has purchased what and in what amount. Okay, everything that's dispensed is recorded and kept. So I'm not really seeing, and also who the recommending physician is as well. So I'm not really seeing that there's going to be abuse, because the record keeping alone could, you know, is all they need if they want to monitor that.
So I had knee replacement surgery, and I'm just wondering, as are I think a lot of people, and I was prescribed a painkiller. Is my name on record somewhere, or is the doctor's name on record somewhere? How are these records kept?
Yeah, that's also regulated. That you know, I'm doing it from memory,
no,
so I don't want to guess. But they, yes, they do. They actually do keep all of the narcotic drugs are monitored in that way.
And to refresh our memory, who is it that is available to be for prescription marijuana, although you said it's not a prescription?
Okay, well, that's a longer list. Okay, so we started out, you know, in Louisiana with, you know, only the most serious ones and obvious ones that, you know, that you know, the, if you have cancer, if you, you know, and these. But we've, over the years, expanded it to a long list, and then there's also like a catch-all where you just treat it like medicine, and it basically, to summarize it, it says, you know, any debilitating condition that a doctor believes this would, you know, benefit, basically. That's the, you know, paraphrased version of it. So they treat this like any other medicine that they have to look at to try to treat a patient. You know, this is also something they can include. So it doesn't have to be, you know, and whenever people push back on the medical marijuana program, you know, they're never pushing back thinking, you know, people in hospice or people that have cancer or, you know, in a real, you know, debilitating life-ending conditions. Nobody's has an objection to these people having access to something that helps ease their suffering. It's, you know, potential for abuse on the other side, where people are just going to come up with a condition that they want to get someone to prescribe it to them, and then they've, you know, and then they've beaten the system, so to say, you know, with getting the marijuana through the medical cannabis program. But, you know, eventually all of this, in my opinion, is going to change. I'm not saying next year, but I think it's pretty clear that, you know, the way the direction the country is going is that this is probably not even going to be illegal federally at some point at all. But, you know,
it's a hell of a switch. You go from Schedule One to legal, huh?
Well, look, how is it a Schedule One drug? You know, let's ask any of your congressmen or, you know, senators, you know, how is it a Schedule One drug that has no medicinal benefit or use if 37 states have medical marijuana programs where it is recommended or, you know, prescribed? 37. Like, what do we have to get to? 49? Do we have to get to all 50 that say it has a medical use before we can say take it out of the schedule with no medical use? You know, that's politics, believe it or not.
All right, Joe, we're going to take a break. We'll pick it up here. We come back. When we come back, we'll talk about fixing it and making it easier for people that legitimately are prescribed this to get it. And we're talking about the medical use of cannabis and some problems that have arisen with Representative Joe Marino, who's the chair of the Medical Marijuana Commission, about some bureaucratic problems, red tape that could be keeping medical marijuana from helping more people. 920, back in a flash, WWL. 927, Tommy Tucker, WWL, talking to Joe Marino, Louisiana State Representative, who is the chair of the Medical Marijuana Commission, about some bureaucratic problems, red tape, that could be keeping medical marijuana from helping more people. Somebody texted in. And really, it is a good point that how can you have medical cannabis if Schedule 1 definition says there's no medical use for it? Is that something that maybe... I don't know. What's holding the federal government up on this, Joe, in your opinion?
Well, I don't work in that federal level. I don't know what goes on in those meetings and but I'll tell you this. Medical marijuana is going to continue in every state, but our state is hard to get it because we have two growers and 9 dispensaries right now. 9 for the state of Louisiana. That's like saying you can get this medicine if you can go to the one, you know, if you live anywhere near the one that there is in your region. For 9 for the state of Louisiana, it's going to go to, you know, 10 or 11 by next year. But then the other part is I tried to expand the number of dispensaries. I don't think we should have a limitation on that. I mean, we're restricting access to patients, and we have no competition. When you're the only business in a whole region, you can pretty much set you set the price and the terms. But my bill, you know, was defeated, you know, and also the bill that I had filed last year to expand the number of growers in the state also defeated. For patients to really, for this to be effective for them, it has to be accessible and affordable. And in Louisiana, it's not either of those two things.
So where's the pushback? Who doesn't want it, or who's voting against your bill, and what rationale are they given to keep it from being accessible and being affordable? Are they trying to protect people? Is that the argument they make?
The pushback from expanding the number of growers, believe it or not, came from the growers who had a very successful lobbying campaign, and they shut it down. It's they don't want competition. They want to be the only game in town, and they are. And they still are. And really, we have two licenses one was given to LSU and one was given to Southern, and each one now has to only contract with one grower, which that's new. But we're doing this the way we set it up. Look, I'm glad we started it. I'm glad we got it off the ground. I'm glad Senator Mills did all this work and laid the groundwork for all of this. But there's no reason for us to continue along in this because we're not really getting medicine to patients this way. We're making money for dispensaries and growers. It's because it's not, and look at this, look at it too this way. I don't know if obviously it's not covered by your insurance. Mm-hmm. So instead of going to Walgreens and paying a $5 deductible or $5 copay, it's $100.
That's what somebody texted in.
How much that costs.
$150 is what they're texting into me, and I guess it depends on.
$150 out of pocket every time you have to get it. And then when you go to get your prescription, it may or may not be there. They may or may not have it. It may be out.
Comparison, your insurance will cover hydrocodone, Vicodin, cocaine, methamphetamine.
Horribly addictive.
Exactly, right.
Horribly addictive opiates can be covered. That's all about, like I said, once the federal government says this is not a Schedule I drug anymore, that changes the whole game. Then banks can transact with the growers, and it doesn't have to be a cash business. The patient comes in to purchase his medicine. They can't use a credit card. You can't use a debit card. You can't use a check. You have to have cash, or you have to go to an ATM inside of the business, or you got to have to have cash. It's cash business. So all of this is just, we have a lot of unnecessary hurdles, and eventually you can go back and play this again maybe 5 or 10 years from now, and they're like, that's what y'all were doing in Louisiana in 2022, that you had 9 dispensaries for the state of Louisiana.
So we only got a couple of minutes left, Joe. From what you're telling me, I'm guessing more suppliers, more dispensaries would be the answer. In terms of getting the prescription, there is a problem as it relates to televisits and having to actually show up. And I know some medications, you actually have to go to the doctor's office and pick it up. They can't send it to the pharmacy, et cetera.
Right, right. Yeah, this doesn't need to be in that category. We can make it easier for people and you know, treat this medicine like other medicines.
So where does it begin next legislative session? How do you fix it for people that are listening right now and saying, Joe, I agree with everything you said, but what do we do now to fix it?
You just keep pushing this rock up the hill, you know, and just keep moving it. Just keep moving it. I mean, we're moving slowly, but as long as we're moving forward, I think we're moving in the right direction.
Anything specifically planned for this session, or is this something that would come up that you plan on bringing up?
We still have more to go over with the commission, and we want to look and identify, you know, some things that we may not have thought of, or, you know, this is a substantial change we just did with Representative McGee's bill that made a lot of changes on the regulatory part, which we didn't even talk about. Mm-hmm. So we'll probably have a cleanup bill in there at least to, fix what we unintended consequences and things that we didn't catch, that type of thing.
Maybe you can come back. We'll talk about the regulatory part of it. All right.
Anytime you like. I love talking about this subject.
Thank you, Joe. I think it's important. I really do, especially for people that are suffering, and it's just counterintuitive. It's nuts to think that, again, Vicodin, oxycodone, even fentanyl, you can get that, and an insurance company will pay for it if it's prescribed by a doctor under the right circumstances, but marijuana, not so much. It's nuts. Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Appreciate
Have a good
it. One. You too. Representative Joe Marino.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Baseball is in full swing. NBA playoffs are heating up, and your NFL team is gearing up for training camp. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.